Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, it's a beautiful rainy day in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Temperature's not too bad, getting more snow up there in the mountains. And Dr. Brian Nixon, he's an assistant pastor and director of publishing and education with Calvary Albuquerque in studio. Brian, we haven't had you for a while.
Jim, it's been a while, at least I think a little over a month. So I'm glad you came and knocked on my door and said, Brian, you're going to be on the radio, and I've got a good topic for you.
Brian, you're not busy enough. You're in the pulpit last Wednesday.
I was,
and
yeah.
And having a fun time talking about Revelation.
Yep, I was. I covered for Pastor Skip while he was recovering.
Yeah.
And I taught from Revelation chapter 1, and I called the message, A Picture is Worth a Thousand Words. And there was a little bit of art history there at the beginning, but mm-hmm. then we delve into the text and looked at... you know, that little section of Revelation, which is John's vision of the heavenly Christ.
What a fun time for you to be in front of everybody. And that's a different thing about the way Calvary Albuquerque does things is they go verse by verse.
Right.
And talk about historical grammatical background and throw in a few fun things. In fact, Skip on Sunday, well, Saturday too, had some fun with talking about having a hole in the head.
That's exactly right. His let's see, subdural hematosis. Yeah.
Hematoma.
That's it. Yeah.
And it was really, I mean, obviously just a blessing. Even a lot of people that are on staff at Calvary Albuquerque weren't real sure about the details.
Yeah.
Praying for Skip. It's a nice thing to be in a church family though, because I know you probably let people know, wow, I've been asked to speak in the pulpit. I bet you had a bunch of people praying about that and your preparation for that.
Yeah. People are always step up. They want to pray. And I find that after, I usually teach, people will say, do you have the notes? Cause you give a lot of information. So I end up, you know, and I always tell people you're always welcome to email me and I'll gladly send you my notes. Brian.Nixon@CalvaryABQ.org. And I send the notes out on a regular basis because, you know, part of what I like to do, Jim, one of the reasons why we're doing the program is I like to equip people. You know,
right. That's
part of what I see my larger ministry is doing, is it's equipping ministry.
Brian, what I've appreciated about you is you have allowed people to have a perspective that is within what you would call the pale of orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody has the same opinions about different things and interpretations,
right.
But there is, you know, kind of a parameters, if you will, that are within what you would consider to be a Christian point of view.
Yeah, exactly. I call it a humble hermeneutic. Mm-hmm. I may have a particular interpretation of the text. Hermeneutics is mm-hmm. the art and science of interpretation. So I may have a particular interpretation of a text, but I also realize there's 2,000 years of church history where other people have differed or have a different interpretation. So I think there's a sense of humility we need to go by. And there are those things that are essential to the faith, and they have been defined and categorized with the first five statements of faith, or what we would call the creeds. So we can look back to the creeds to say, this is what the early Christians determined that were the essentials. All the other things are non-essential. So I would much rather, you know, sit down with a fellow Christian and go, you know, we may agree to disagree. You could tell me your view. I'll tell you mine. But I think once you hit the essentials, then, you know, you need to draw the line a little bit more in the sand, such as, you know, the two natures of Christ, both human and divine, or the Trinity, or, you know, you fill in the blank of those essential doctrines.
Well, I want to let our listeners know that as we're talking about things today, we're going to talk about how God has worked through flawed people
mm-hmm.
throughout history to accomplish great things. And this was kind of precipitated by a show that I did where I started by talking about America celebrating Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very surprised, Brian. And by the way, I'm encouraging these emails. My email is jim.williams@calvaryabq.com. You can always email me any questions that you have, anything you want to go on the show. But I was surprised. I started the thing by the whole segment by saying, look, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a flawed man, just mm-hmm. like we all are.
That's exactly right.
And so I wasn't ascribing really praise to a man,
right.
Although I do admire
sure.
a lot of the things he endured.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing things. But was he a perfect Christian? Was he a perfect person? Well, I would be the last person to say that he wasn't. but I think it's reasonable to say none of us
right.
are.
No one is.
So we want, I had the idea that we would take a look at what a flawed person yeah. is. So let's start off. What's a flawed person mean?
Well, as normal, Jim, you know, I like to define yeah. terms. So flawed just means blemished, damaged, or imperfect in some way. So as you already indicated, all people are flawed. All people are imperfect, be it spiritually flawed, aka sin, or at times we are even biologically flawed. We may have some disabilities or disadvantages. And which really leads me to, we need to define our terms when we say flawed, and get very specific. First are what we could maybe call biological flaws. These are not technical terms. These are just what I'm calling them. Mm-hmm. A biological flaw is something we may be born with, such as a blemish of the body or mind. And we must separate this from the spiritual flaw. Just because someone has a biological flaw doesn't mean there's sin in their life. Mm. Though there are some Christians out there that teach that, oh, you know, this has happened to you, therefore you must be in sin. Mm. No, biological flaw is something that we've inherited genetically. And then the second is what I would call a behavioral flaw. And the behavioral flaw is something that one acts upon. It's a character trait that may be corrected. And a lot of times this behavioral flaw is sin. As an example, I may cheat or I may lie or I may do another vice that is some sort of behavior. It's a flaw in my character that could be corrected. And then the third type of flaw that I, again, this is not a technical term, but we have biological, we have behavioral, and then I call a bully flaw. This is something that's more sociological. And this is something that is done to a person by an individual or group. So that, you know, like literally you bully someone, you know, that it's a flaw in my character, but it could also elicit a flaw in you. So it has a sociological factor. So there's biological flaw, not necessarily sin. There is behavioral flaw, which can be sin. And then there's what I would just generally call the bully flaw that is sociological, that usually is implicit with sinful behavior. So these are the type of flaws, I think, that are generally addressed, particularly in the Bible.
And we're going to be back with Brian, Dr. Brian Nixon, talking about why God works through flawed people and doing amazing things throughout history. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Hey, Budicade, Buck Buckner, owner of Car Spa here. I've had a job since maybe 11 years old. Broke was not in my vocabulary. Through work opportunities, I learned things like responsibility, discipline, go-get, setting goals, savings, teamwork, integrity, competitiveness, commitment, and self-worth. Recent Car Spa expansions requires that we hire more people across the ranks of associates, supervisors, and managers. We need to build more teams to meet the demand of our business. We have hourly and salary positions with benefits, with experience in performance. We are looking for the right people and energy for both full service and part-time to be a part of our team. We have an immediate and greatest need at our newest Westside Coors location, but are hiring at all sites. Drop by early morning, Sunday through Wednesday, fill out an app, and interview a manager. And join the team.
Listen to this hotspot with Skip Hytek.
Now, a lot of Christians, I have noticed, make a big deal about the miraculous. And God is a God of miracles. He can do everything he wants. But God most often works through providence rather than the miraculous.
And here's the rundown on providence.
Providence is the idea that God takes natural events and he enacts supernatural results.
Hotspot. Want more from Skip? Visit connectwithskip.com. God can use anything in your life.
It's never an oh no moment for God. God never says, oh no, what am I going to do now? He says, this is perfect. I'm going to weave this for a supernatural outcome, these natural experiences.
Increase your Bible knowledge with Skip's reading plan. Search for Skip Hytek in the YouVersion Bible app.
God sees your whole life.
Your whole life.
And knew your whole life before you were ever born. You're just discovering what he saw in the beginning.
Hotspot.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Dr. Brian Nixon. He's an assistant pastor of Calvary Albuquerque. He's frequently on the show with us, giving us some clarity about questions. And I mentioned, Brian, at the beginning of the show that what precipitated this interview about God working through flawed men is, one, I mean, I'm profoundly aware of my flaws, which are too many and too boring for anybody to listen to, but I have seen God do a lot of really amazing things mm-hmm. in my life personally. For example, temper has very long been a very difficult thing for me. I would walk into a basketball game and start yelling at a basketball official after promising myself that I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is it took, frankly, being humbled through a divorce mm-hmm. to humble me to the point where I don't do that now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been coaching for about 5 years after that situation, and I don't even have a heart to yell at the basketball
right.
officials. Now, I'm still allergic to those striped shirts
yeah.
they wear. I see that God has made that change, and there's other things. But, you know, it's funny to me. I'll hear people walking out of church that are just blessed by a sermon, and that's any church, not,
yeah.
not Calvary Albuquerque,
yeah.
but any church. And 2 minutes after they walk out of here, you can see road rage taking
oh, yeah.
over as they can't get out of the parking lot.
That's one of my flaws, Jim. I'm just going to be openly confess to you. Yeah, you're right. All of us have flaws. And some of it is spiritual, you know, that behavior, emotional flaw. Some of it is biological. We may have been born with a disadvantage. And then, you know, other people, you're just part of a social group or you're a disposition where there's a bully aspect to it. But God, as you pointed out, can use people in all situations.
Well, give us an example of people in the Bible that might have had all three flaws that you discussed earlier.
Yeah, well, there's two key people that incidentally had all three of these flaws, and God still used them. Number one is Moses. Moses had a speech problem, to his own admission. So whether he was born with it or not, we don't know. But that probably was some sort of biological. We don't know if it was a stutter or if he just had difficulty articulating, but there was some sort of speech problem. Also, he was bullied. He was bullied by the Egyptians. So there was social pressure. There was the flaw of them looking down upon him. And then his own behavior. He killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you look at Moses. He had a biological flaw. You know, his speech was not articulate. B, he had a behavioral flaw in that he killed someone. And then three, he was also the recipient of bullying. You know, he left and then Egypt was after him. And then look what God did. God used him in an immense way. Sure, he had to wander, you know, in the wilderness. He had to go through some tough times, but God still used him to really develop the nation of Israel. God really helped him to bring used him to bring the Ten Commandments to the people. And the list goes on and on and on. As a matter of fact, you know, there's been polls out there of the most important Jewish people throughout history. And Moses usually tops the list, and then Jesus. Of course, as Christians, we would put Jesus first and then, you know, other people below. But Moses, through his flaw, God used him in amazing ways. And Jim, he could use someone listening right now going, God, I was born with this, but God can't use me. Yes, he can. You know, he could use you in all situations.
Absolutely. Give us another example. I have a feeling what's coming.
Well, the second one is a New Testament example, and that's Paul. And Paul, of course, had poor eyesight. He you know, had his secretary, you know, write
for him.
Sounds
like most of the basketball officials I know.
That's exactly right. And then he was a bully. You know, he bullied Christians. And then he was bullied himself by people who persecuted Christians. And then, in his own words, he was the chief of sinners. Why? Because he had Christians killed. So, you know, this is a guy who had, you know, behavioral problems. He had biological problems, and then he was a recipient and also a propagator of sociological flaws as well. And God used him in amazing ways. We know not only did he help start churches, you know, half of the New Testament that we read as far as letters are by Paul. We know that he was instrumental in so many things in the early church. And this is a guy who persecuted the church, who had Christians killed. And the Lord still used him. So talk about two flawed individuals, Moses in the Old Testament and Paul in the New. had all three of those flaws.
Brian, I hear people frequently say, the Bible is old and it's not contemporary for today and this and that. But I can think of a third person.
Oh, there's many people.
That might have had all three times about 100, and that's King David.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, here's a guy that was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He lied. I mean, just go through the list.
Yep.
And yet God calls him a man after his own heart.
Yeah, and I think that's what the Lord looks at it, the initial, you know, for, at least for the believer, is that we are going to fall. We are going to sin. But the Lord knows or wants or he does know that, you know, you are a person after his heart. You are a person who wants to please him. And in wanting to please the Lord, I think that does please the Lord. So we may not always be perfect. We are flawed individuals. But in the fact that we want to please the Lord does indeed please the Lord. And he will correct us. He'll redirect us. He'll do everything he needs to do. But the bottom line is there are a host of people. You know, I just, you know, before we leave this of biblical examples, I just took this offline. I think this was from Jared Wilson, who sadly committed suicide. And the Lord could still use him, case in point, this list. And he put together a little list of some Christians in the Bible who were a little flawed, and the Lord still used them. Elijah, he was suicidal. Mm-hmm. Joseph, he was abused. Job went bankrupt. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. A Samaritan woman who was divorced. Noah was known to drink. Jeremiah was young. Jacob was a cheater. David was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow, which not necessarily a flaw, but it does have sociological factors. Peter denied Christ three times. Martha worried. Zacchaeus was small and, you know, possibly money hungry. And the list goes on. And when you begin to look at the biblical characters, we come to the quick realization that they are flawed people. They're not these perfect saints. They are people with flaws. Again, either a biological flaw, either a behavioral flaw, or some sort of sociological flaw that caused them to do, you know, certain things.
While you're talking, Brian, I'm thinking about another individual in the New Testament who, if you were an employer that's trying to find an employee to carry out a task and serve the people, you would hire a certain kind of individual. Well, God basically hired a tax collector mm-hmm. who had already offended everybody in the entire community, including people that were Christians, and that was Matthew.
Right.
But yet Matthew did great things
right.
because God had blessed him to work through him.
That's exactly right. And we find that again and again. And one of the things I absolutely love about the Bible, Jim, is that it is a real book. It doesn't paint some kind of, you know, rosy picture of everyone walking on water and loving and God bless you and hugging everyone. It paints a real picture of the human condition. And the Bible doesn't, you know, say, you know, all people are great. No, people by nature have fallen. They miss the mark. And the Bible gives us the clues to move forward.
We are in studio with Dr. Brian Nixon, assistant pastor at Albuquerque and the director of publishing and education. Brian is talking about today how God has worked through flawed people throughout history to accomplish great things. When we come back, we're going to talk about why God uses flawed people and how we might start to look at a person's flaws. And then we're going to look at some modern examples as we move forward. So stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
New Mexico is still known as the late-term abortion capital of the world. Last year, HB 51 and HB 90 were defeated because of your efforts.
Please join us again at Right to Life Committee of New Mexico as we work to save lives, protect women, protect children, and protect our doctors.
For more information on how you can again make a difference, call Right to Life Committee of New Mexico at 505-881-4563. That's 505-881-4563.
Middle and high school students, listen up. You are invited to experience the snowy mountains of Colorado as we refresh, refocus, and restore our walks with Christ on this three-day, two-night retreat. It's all happening at the Snow Wolf Lodge in Pagosa Springs on February 15th through the 17th. We'll have some amazing times of worship, Bible study, games, and all the snow you can eat, sled, and play in. Space is limited and the cost is $175. Sign up today by visiting the events webpage at calvarynm.church.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Brian Nixon, he's an assistant pastor and director of publishing and education with Calvary Albuquerque. You may have seen his teaching on Wednesday this past week. He was in the pulpit talking about Revelation chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, in addition to that, you're a musician.
I'm a musician. I am a little artist, do a little writing myself, so I keep busy outside of you know, other things. So
now your basic day, though, is taking all this information that you get from Skip Heitzig for years and years and years in the pulpit,
yep,
and you're compiling that and working into books.
Yeah, my weekly is I oversee the publishing department, and so we work on Skip's books and booklets. I write the Connect notes every weekend. I listen to Skip, and I formulate them into notes and questions for the study guide. I also do the 30K questions, so the people that take that quiz each week based solely on the Bible, I do that. And then, of course, I oversee the education department, help with overseeing their early childhood education, and then coordinate with our college as well. So it's a fun time.
We're going to continue our discussion about how God works through people with flaws. But, Brian, I want to ask you, you're obviously spending every day in the Word,
mm-hmm,
to some degree.
Yep.
I know that people think about, there's cultural Christians that think about going to church on Sunday. They think about, oh gosh, where did I put that Bible that I haven't seen since last Sunday? What do you hope that people will do? I mean, I know it's probably unreasonable for you to expect people to spend 8 hours in the Word,
yeah,
every day, but there's got to be a little bit of time,
yeah,
right?
There does. I mean, there, you know, the bare minimum I would hope any, what I would call convictional Christian, you know, this is actually Ed Stetzer as apart from a cultural Christian, but a convictional Christian, somebody who takes their faith seriously. I would hope that at bare minimum, they're at least reading the Bible. And that's crazy to say. You would think, well, don't Christians read the Bible? No, a lot of Christians don't. They will just listen to the radio or turn on a praise and worship CD. But my hope is that Christians bare minimum would read it, start, you know, pick a book of the Bible and just read it, and then try to understand it. And how to understand the Bible, you know, it takes a little bit more of a commitment. But if you read and then seek to understand it, which takes a little bit of study, that's just a start in the right direction.
How is it different to read the Bible than it is to read a normal book?
Well, I think, you know, reading the Bible can be like reading a normal book. You know, you could read it as literature or whatever, and you would look for different, you know, themes and variations. But I think reading it devotionally requires to let it speak to you. Whereas when you're just reading it, you're just kind of looking at it from a literary standpoint of, oh, that was interesting story, or that was an interesting historic document. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to use the Bible to speak to you, there's a reciprocation. You're reading it, and then you're allowing it to sink into your life.
Brian, why do you think God uses flawed people? And we were talking off air. The reality is that there is no one that is without a flaw.
That's right. There's
but
only
Jesus.
That's right. There's only one person in the Bible that was flawless, and you had pointed out the scripture text, you know, in Peter there. But only Jesus is flawless. He's the perfect one. He's the one without sin. He's the only one in the Bible. Everyone else had flaws. And God used a whole host of people throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testament, as he continues to do today. But why does God use flawed people. Well, ultimately, you know, there's a mystery to that. We don't know why God does everything. But I think I could give three clear answers. Number one, sovereignty. You know, God in his sovereignty uses whom he chooses. You know, God uses whom he chooses. God wants to accomplish something, and he'll use that person to fulfill that accomplishment. And so, you know, it's ultimately up to God to work as he pleases. Why? Because he's in full control and authority. So God's sovereignty. Number two, God's love. You know, God loves people and yearns for them to prosper in his love and grace. And so it's an act of God's will working through love to touch people, not just the rich and powerful and naturally talented, but all people, which leads kind of to the third thing. This is kingdom ethics. You know, it's an upside down kingdom, or as Vernon Eller, who was a Brethren author, it's his end up. And so God sometimes likes to turn things up. You know, in the world we go, well, boy, this person's so talented and so articulate and so amazing. And God goes, yeah, he is, but I'm going to go ahead and use this guy over here who, you know, has a limp and he stutters and not very articulate, because God, in God's kingdom, things aren't as in the human kingdom. You know, speaking of Vernon Eller, he said, if history is seen as a drama, then God will come alive. You know, so if you look at history from the standpoint of, wow, God's using unusual and unexpected people, it comes alive. And then you're all saying, boy, that had to be the Lord, because that person surely didn't have the natural inclinations or the natural gifting, or you fill in the blank, but God used them. So you understand that this drama of life, there is a playwright, and the playwright is God. So it really points to the fact that God is writing the script. So I think sovereignty, his love, and that's just how he works within the kingdom.
I'm not asking how we should evaluate other people here, because that's later in the discussion. Yep. Here in the second half. But I want to ask how we should view the flaws of people.
Yeah, I think we need to separate the wheat from the chaff. We first of all begin with ourselves saying, you know, I'm not perfect. Boy, you know, you talked about something in your life. I talked about road rage or whatever. And you go, you know, I need to correct that. I need to recognize it. And so with all people, we have to go, you know, that's just a character flaw. We hear that. That's something that they could probably correct. And maybe you may be an instrument to help them correct that. But I think what we need to do is separate the wheat from the chaff, help people correct when you can that, you know, chaff, but then really appreciate what they do bring to the table. And I think it comes down to grace. I think, you know, as God extends his grace to us, we need to extend grace and forgiveness to other people. And so really it's just a matter of, you see it in other people. As the Lord leads, you may be able to address it in truth and love. But then you also have to recognize at the end of the day, there needs to be grace entailed with it, because it could be someone's just having a bad day. Mm. It's not like they wanted to upset you. They just, you know, their dog died and they got a ticket on the way to work, so they didn't say hi to you, or they were mad or something. You know, that's when grace and go, okay, you know. And so I think it just comes down to separating the wheat from the chaff.
There you go. Brian Nixon in studio with us, and we are talking about how God works through flawed people throughout history. When we come back, we're going to talk about some non-biblical examples, more modern characters.
Yes.
So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Happy Valentine's Day from Slater Transfer and Storage. Nothing makes the heart smile more than sharing the special day with the ones you love. Slater Transfer and Storage, moving with integrity. 505-345-8841.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture. and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT.
Closing the Loop. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of Vision for Life. Have you ever been stiff-armed? The stiff arm is an amazing tool for running backs because it seems to give them an unfair advantage over the defense. As they break into the open field, many running backs shift the ball to the outside arm and with the inside arm extend it straight into the face mask of the defensive player and shed them off. We often communicate via the stiff arm. We do it by not responding to difficult people. What we need to understand is that in communication, no communication is communication. It's a stiff arm. It is often given when we don't know how to deal with an annoying or nagging person. We stiff-arm others when we don't reply to an email, fail to return a call, or continually don't reply to a text. Remember the golden rule of Luke 6:31, which says, "Do to others as you would have them do to you."
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio, where faith and sports collide at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Brian Nixon in studio, and we are talking about how God works through flawed people throughout history to accomplish great things. And now we're going to talk about some modern people that are not in the Bible.
That's right, not in the Bible. And it's interesting to me, Jim, that, you know, when you initially brought up this topic to me, you used the case of Martin Luther King Jr., and I thought, how appropriate, because I have used this exact situation in other broadcasts and other teachings, and I call it a tale of two Martin Luthers, because I compare and contrast two individuals that were definitely flawed in multiple areas, just like we all are, but God used them. And, you know, you said this was precipitated because you would get emails and a lot of dialogue from people on, you know, there's individuals out there who want to eradicate Martin Luther King Day. They have a list of reasons why. And it's really interesting. And so throughout, you know, the last 20 years, I've had to compare and contrast these. So let's look at both Martin Luther and Martin Luther King Jr. And I'm not here to judge them by any means. I'm just here to say, in spite of themselves, God still used them. So Martin Luther, we know for a fact that he liked to drink. You know, in particularly in today's American evangelical world, you know, you can't get out there and just drink a bunch of beer. You know, that's drunkenness or whatever. But Martin Luther was a drinker. And not only that, Martin Luther, the original Martin Luther, used abusive, angry language. What people don't realize is he was into scatology. Let's just say that. He was very foul with his mouth. As a matter of fact, Thomas More, who was an English reformer, called Luther's mouth a cesspool. So that's how foul Luther can be at times. You know, where a fellow reformer would just go, man, this guy's just, his mouth is a cesspool. And then, you know, we also know that Martin Luther was inhospitable to the peasants. As a matter of fact, the peasants were influenced by the reforms, took it a little too far, but Martin Luther had terrible things to say about these peasant people that were doing the peasant uprising. And Martin Luther basically said, go out there, squash them, kill them. And so, you know, there was like, oh my gosh. And then, of course, one of the things that most people hold against Martin Luther is that later in life, particularly in the latter half of his life, he was tended to be anti-Semitic. He was not pro-Jewish. Early on, he was very friendly towards the Jews and really tried to reach out to the Jews and tell them about the love of God in Christ. But later on, he kind of got a curmudgeon-y, you know, old man and had some anti-Semitic things. So these are just some of his flaws. But look, he helped reform the church. He brought back an emphasis on scripture, on grace, on faith. He promoted reading the Bible in your own language. He translated it. So despite his flaws, God used him for amazing, great things. So that's Martin Luther. Now let's turn to a more recent Martin Luther, Martin Luther King Jr. And Martin Luther King Jr. was the fellow that precipitated you to bring up this topic.
Yes.
And we know And research has been done by the Wall Street Journal and others that he plagiarized some of his dissertation. And as an educator, that hurts me because, you know, you're saying, oh, plagiarism, that's like stealing. And as a matter of fact, they even know the guy who he plagiarized from. His name was Jack Boozer. And later on, they went to Jack Boozer, who ended up teaching religion at some university. I forgot where, maybe Emory. But Jack Boozer said, you know what? I've forgiven him. It doesn't matter because of all the great things he did beyond that. And I think when it came down to it, the people that went over him, it's about 50 sentences or 50 different thoughts that were taken from Jack Boozer. And then secondly, Martin Luther King Jr., he was accused of being a womanizer. And this isn't just by people that didn't like him. These were close associates. As a matter of fact, Ralph Abernathy, who was one of his closest associates, you know, said, you know, he did have problems in this area. And just like King David, you know, King David had problems in this area. And then we also know from other people that he would borrow from, which is a form of plagiarism, he would borrow images and speeches from other people and not give credit where credit's due, such as Let Freedom Ring, who was originally given by a fellow by the name of Archibald Carey. And Archibald Carey, I think, gave a very similar speech in 1952. So it preceded Martin Luther's by, you know, 10, 15 years. But again, those are some flaws, but look at some of the positive things that came from it. He was a figurehead of the civil rights movement. I mean, he was the guy that spoke and met with presidents and used his natural charisma to fight an injustice. Secondly, he inspired legions of people to fight against racism. I myself, Jim, as a wide-eyed wonder teenager, I had a poster of Martin Luther King Jr. up in my room. Plus, I had Albert Schweitzer and Mother Teresa. I know it's kind of weird for, you know, a senior in high school, but I really wanted to help change the world. And these were some of the people I just naturally looked to. These guys were making a difference, these guys and girls, Mother Teresa and Albert Schweitzer from a generation before. But he inspired legions of people to fight against an known injustice. And then, you know, another thing that he brought, he was willing to die for these things, which he ultimately did. So again, all of these, you know, flaws he had were offset by amazing things he did. And we have to step back and go, we all have flaws. You know, we're no better than Martin Luther, first Martin Luther or Martin Luther King Jr. We're no better than these guys. But they still did great things. And that's where it goes back to your question before this segment was, we have to separate the wheat from the chaff. We have to go, God, I don't agree with that, or I wish he wouldn't have done that, but he did it, but we could celebrate what was good.
Brian, you have to acknowledge too that I think they made themselves available to God.
Oh yeah.
To be used by him.
I think so. I think the availability, they were imperfect men, but they made themselves available. And so God can use people who made themselves available. It's like Isaiah, here I am, send me, you know, I'm available. And maybe at some point in Martin Luther King Jr.'s life, here I am, Lord, I'll be the one to step up and really be used for this injustice, this racism that's rampant in America. Use me to crack that shell open. And, you know, 500 years before Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther did the same thing. Lord, use me. The Roman Catholic Church is straight. It's a cesspool right now, even though I have a foul mouth. Use me to crack that egg. And their availability, I think you're spot on. They were available for the Lord to use.
Brian, I can't imagine a Christian not knowing the scripture that says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
That's exactly right.
But do we really believe that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, you know, some people say they do, but then their actions don't always match their words. You know, they're quick to judge. They're quick to castigate other people without looking at the flaw in their own life. But again, I love that comparison of two Martin Luthers, you know, Martin Luther King and Martin Luther, to show that God still could use people to work good in society, even though they're both flawed individuals. And, you know, though they're not religious men, but, you know, someone like Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant, who died recently, as we know, it broke me up. I was privileged to see Kobe play a few times, and just an honor. And we know on the court, he was a beast. And we understand off the court, he was beautiful to his family and kind, but he also had some flaws. But he also recognized those flaws and recognized that Jesus, he said, you know, by the grace of God, go I. You know, he carried the cross. He said that in an interview on ESPN. So people are people, and we make mistakes. And I, rather than being a person that, you know, puts a magnifying up to someone's mistake, I would rather put a telescope where they could go in the future.
More current examples of God using men today in our culture, flawed men and women, mm-hmm. To do great things. We'll be back with Brian Nixon. Stay with us.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
Fulfilling the Great Commission can be a grand adventure. Cody and Chantel Byrne traded a comfortable life in Albuquerque to begin a church plant in Perth, on the Gold Coast of Australia, where Cody was born.
It came down to, despite all the signs and the answered prayers, we just had this insanely overwhelming peace to just sell everything we own, to sell a house, our cars, our belongings, and just pack up. And, you know, we brought 6 green duffel bags from Albuquerque all the way to Perth, Australia. We've got 2 small kids, and so that was a journey in of itself, but really just having this call, having this peace, the confirmation, and just taking a giant step of faith, trusting the Lord in every step.
At KNKT and Star 88, our great mission campaign for 2020 now turns to Tribes Church with Cody and Chantel. Here is an opportunity for you to get in on the ground floor of a kingdom investment. Follow Tribes with Cody at tribesaustralia.com. Keep up with their podcast, pray for their progress, and invest in this startup venture. TribesAustralia.com.
Plan to launch our church in August.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Nixon in studio with us this afternoon. Brian, we just had the Academy Awards last night. And it's interesting to me. We're talking about how God works through flawed people. And sometimes those people are not even believers in Christ.
Right.
And there's biblical examples of that.
There are.
I'm always intrigued with, I didn't watch the Academy Awards. I kind of watched the highlights a little bit on the news and then a little bit this morning. But I'm always impressed with the characters. It's almost like everybody is such a character.
Yeah.
Is such an
unique entity.
Individual.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know that creativity is just pouring out of them, and you want to see God use that creativity in some amazing way. So, like, for example, when I hear Idina Menzel sing the Disney music from Frozen, you know, the songs are really kind of inspirational. They don't point you to Christ, but it seems like they're intended to lift people up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, that's where you could say God working through common grace. We have to remember that there are two graces. There's specific grace, you know, where God saves someone and his grace has been imparted to them. And then there's common grace. There's artistic talent. There's athletic talent. There's talents that he bestows upon human beings because they're made in his image. And so I think as human beings, before we become, you know, sin sniffers, and what we need to do is recognize that they're made in the image of God, and God loves them more than I love them. And he may be even burdened more than I would ever be burdened for certain sins. But then we could begin to appreciate, you know, as common grace, what they bring to the table. And so I do monitor the Grammys, and I monitor the Oscars as well. And I'm always curious because I think we need to be astute as to where people are coming from. You know, one of the more odd acceptance speeches was Joaquin Phoenix's. He didn't even really thank anyone per se. He gave this little winding road through animal rights to injustice and how we need to all be, you know, fighting against injustice. And then he gave a little quote from his brother who passed away from a drug overdose, who was himself a very talented actor. And, you know, rather than just sit there and judge him and point the finger, I tried to find what it was he was saying, even though it was largely incoherent. And I said, okay, if he's saying we do need to fight injustice, I could agree with that. I mean, obviously we'd have to define what injustice is. And then his animal rights thing. And I said, yeah, Christians do need to protect the rights of animals. They're God's creation. They're given to us as gifts. We're called to protect them to a certain extent. And so I could find certain truths, even in, you know, elements of that. And then, of course, there was, Brad Pitt's comments against the current administration. And again, the current administration, you could say, okay, there's another example of God using someone who's not always morally upstanding, mm-hmm. but the Lord could use them as the Lord sees fit. You know, the Lord has used political people throughout the ages. You know, think of Pharaoh, think of Nebuchadnezzar, think of Ahab, all these leaders that God still used, you know, regardless of their standing, you know, before him. So God's the one who's sovereign, not people.
Brian, tomorrow we have on the program Jackie Cushman. She has written a book called Why Both Sides Need to Stop Ranting and Start Listening.
Right.
She's, of course, talking about both sides of the aisle our political parties. And she's saying that they need to stop yelling at each other and start listening, start talking.
Yeah.
Is there a way really for that? Is that God? Will God intervene and help that to happen?
I hope so. I mean, you know, in our political, you know, we are so divided. You know, we really are a divided nation right now. And my, you know, I don't know her book. I don't know Newt Gingrich's daughter's book, but I know Oz Guinness's book, and he wrote a couple of books on civility and the need to sit down and dialogue together. And, you know, Oz Guinness, who is a believer, and his book really is a tremendous book, and he's spot on. We need to sit down and talk about these, knowing that the other side is flawed. The other side is not perfect. The other side is a human being just like my side or my opinions or my view. We need to come to the realization that, hey, we need to have a humble, you know, hermeneutic. We need to have a civil way to sit down and talk. Or, you know, we're going to be in trouble. So I definitely need to make sure I tune in tomorrow.
Well, I'm really looking forward to talking with her a little bit. That's Jackie Cushman on tomorrow's program. By the way, I want to let everybody know that as you're listening to this, you can go back and listen to all of Brian's visits on ABQ Connect. You go to abqconnect.online. And there's an archive, and under the search button, you can type in Nixon, and you'll get all of Brian's interviews. We've talked about everything from the Holy Spirit to who's Jesus to
the Bible.
Bible. I mean, it's been a really fun time.
And I appreciate that, Jim, because I'm not an active Twitter person. I may check once a day or, you know, miss days or whatever, but I do put them out. I have a Twitter. I don't even know what my Twitter account is, BC Nixon or Brian Nixon. I don't even know. But I do put them out there because I appreciate it. You know, the fact that you take the time, not just for me, but for all your guests to archive them and allow people to listen to them. So that's a good resource.
Brian, how do you feel about questions about faith? Does God want us to have dialogue about our doubts, about issues going on?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we learned that from different places. Job is one. Isaiah is another. And I'm paraphrasing here, the Lord basically, test me, try me, question me. You know, I know these things, you know, so I think we can go to God. We could go to the Bible. We could even go to fellow Christians to find answers. And some answers are tough. You know, some answers we don't always like to hear, but we just have to be prayerful and open to what God may want to be communicating in and through those answers.
A few years ago, again, I'll mention coaching again and kind of bring up my problem with officials.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of parents that are very close friends of mine, and their son was playing on our team. And I love him just like he is one of my own children. That would give me six children.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. But I love him, and they know that. They know that. But one day I got mad because he didn't listen to what I said or something like that. And they took some time. They didn't come right up to me after the game or whatever. But they came up to me a couple days later, and they looked at me, and they said, "You understand that our son loves you and trusts you, and he was really hurt by your losing your temper."
Yeah.
So my question really is how can God use us in the lives of other people when they have flaws?
Yeah.
Because I know God used my friends, Jim and Tracy, in a tremendous way in my life.
Well, I think what you just gave is a clear way of just being honest and transparent and being open to what people have to say. It's not fun to be corrected, but, you know, God could use it. But I think, Jim, it also comes down to understanding, you know, why God would allow someone to do something like that, you know, be it a small flaw or a great flaw. And I think it comes down to knowing what God's will is. And that, and there are in the Bible, there are three types of God's will. There's his perfect will. This will come to pass. Nothing can change it. It's not like you could say, "Lord, I've been praying. I don't think it's a good idea for you to come back, you know, to return." No, Jesus is going to come back regardless, his perfect will. And then there's his prescriptive will. This is where God prescribes something to happen, such as the Ten Commandments. "I don't want you to do this." So he prescribes it, but people can sometimes break those laws. Though he's saying, "This is your best, this is what I want," but people break it, which leads to the third, his permissive will. God allows people to break the laws. Why? Due to human freedom. He's created us as free moral agents. So we, in God's permissive will, could break it, which is his prescriptive will, but ultimately his perfect will be accomplished. So think of it this way. In God's permissive will, he allows us to sin. He allows Jim to get upset, you know, on there, but to break a prescriptive will. But ultimately, in his perfect will, he will bring correction into your life to have his will be accomplished.
Amen. More with Brian Nixon. Stay with us. We'll say thank you to some sponsors right now. Thanks.
Most of us wake up to pain, fatigue, and just feeling sick. Much of this can be greatly helped. Learn to lose weight, fight inflammation, pain, fatigue, and become overall healthier. No judgment, just help. It's all about biblical nutrition and health. Join us for a free class with Pastor Scott Tom. It starts soon. You must register online at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. Have you ever wondered why people dread buying a new car? Maybe it's because of the way they were treated in the past. Maybe they were disrespected, or maybe they were even lied to. Well, none of us can change the past, but at Power Ford, we can help you write the future. We're a different type of dealership, so you have a different type of experience. We believe in doing the right thing, building trust, and leading with our values. Faith, family, and then Ford. We're here to help. Just ask. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Throughout history, God has used flawed people to accomplish great things. Brian Nixon, he is a PhD and works at about 15 different jobs in Calvary, Albuquerque. If you don't find him teaching in the pulpit, he's probably editing a book or he's playing music. Are your kids the same way you are, Brian?
My kids, I'm blessed. My kids are great kids. Love all three of them. There's Kaylin, Sutherland, and Isaiah. And Sutherland and Isaiah has his master's in the science, geography. My daughter, she's finishing up her master's. And then our youngest is just still figuring out, you know, what he's going to be doing in college. But they're great kids, and they're talented. So we're blessed.
Well, let's go back over. You just gave us the three P's of God's will.
Right.
I want you to go over that one more time.
Yeah. So there's his perfect will. This is the will that will come to pass. Nothing could thwart it. And then his prescriptive will. This is what he wills for people. He, you know, I want you to follow the Ten Commandments. I want you to obey the laws of the land. And then his permissive will is, in his permissive will, he allows us to break the prescriptive will. But a lot of times he will use the permissive will to break the prescriptive will to fulfill his perfect will. Joseph is a classic example of that. In in God's permissive will, Joseph was taken into slavery. He was outcast by his family, his brothers, taken into slavery. So in God's permissive will, he allowed that to happen. And in doing so, the prescriptive will of caring for your family was thwarted. But ultimately, God's perfect will was accomplished. Mm. And in your case, you know, Jim, that we talked before the station break, in a very smaller sense, but same way. You know, in God's permissive will, he allowed you to break his prescriptive will. You got upset. You got unrightfully angry at this young man. But in his perfect will, he was working in your life. The Apostle Paul, Romans 8, he's working all things together for the good to those who love him. So God's working all things. And the idea of God working all things together, Sinegro, it's this idea of different streams or inlets coming down into one body of water. So think of all these water things coming down to a lake and then the lake moving into the ocean. So God's working all these things together. So, you know, when we're, you know, pointing out flaws in others, you know, we're not called to be sin sniffers, as I said, but we're called to be fruit inspectors. You know, we could look at someone and go, you know what? That person may have some character flaws that Lord, if it's your will at the right time, I may be you'll address them, much like your friends addressed with you. Mm-hmm. And another characteristic or challenge I tell people in this area is to pray and not to pry. Pray and not pry. Don't pry into someone's life and go, I'm gonna get down and figure out exactly, you know, unless the person opens up to you and says, hey, I need help in this, then you could ask some prying questions. But remember to pray for people and not pry into their life. You know, you could usually find by being a fruit inspector, not being a sin sniffer, but fruit inspector going, boy, there's some areas in that person's life that, Lord, if you just want to use me, I would, in love, try to help be a corrective agent in that area. But I think, again, don't be a sin sniffer, be a fruit inspector, and pray and not pry. And I think those are just little good mottos to live by when you're dealing with flawed individuals. And then there's three other things that I think when you recognize that you're flawed, we need to take ownership of our flaw. We then need to take aim at the biblical solution. Okay, I have this problem, this flaw. What can I do? What does the Bible say about it? And then thirdly, action. So ownership, aim, and action. And those are the three things that I would encourage anyone. You know, you're not going to recognize that you have a character flaw or a sin pattern in your life until you take ownership. Well, I don't have a problem. Well, actually you do. So you first have to take ownership. And then you have to take aim at what the Bible says to correct it. And then you have to act upon that. You have to, you know, take action steps. And that could be simply praying with other people, getting with a pastor and saying, what can I do to, you know, get rid of these character flaws? Of course, if it's a biological flaw, let's say, you know, like Moses, a speech problem, or like Paul, eyesight, you know, you would do something else. Like, hey, I have bad eyes. I need to do something. I need to get glasses for them. So I take ownership. I find a corrective behavior, and then I start using them in a proper sense. So I think all of these can be offset with taking ownership, taking aim, and taking action.
And that's with anybody that has any flaw.
Any flaw, any sin. That's what we would call nouthetic counseling. Those are the three principles of nouthetic, which is Bible-based counseling. You have to take ownership. You have to take aim, the biblical aim of what you're doing is wrong, and then you have to take the action steps to do it. And so with other people, again, don't be a sin sniffer. You could be a fruit inspector, like they're not producing the fruit like they should be, but then pray and not pry. You know, just pray, like, Lord, if I'm to be that person, great. But don't become a nuisance to them where they just want to, you know, shove you off to the side.
I'm trying to think of an application today of how God could use our listeners in a great way. And it might not seem great, but just sending an email to your legislator. We're in the middle of the New Mexico legislative session and say, hey, thank you. Appreciate your hard work. Gee, I wish you would support this bill over one other, or this is how I feel about abortion or anything. God could use that in a great way.
And I like that because that's action steps. You're putting your faith into practice. So I love that example. So it's great.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you joining us.
Jim, always great to be on with you.
And we'll see you tomorrow. We have Jackie Cushman on the program tomorrow. We'll see you on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.